Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy Party Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, grassroots show, The Truth Straight Up. Chuck will be joining us here in a second. Big day tomorrow, Saturday, for the Colorado Republican Party. He's been on the phone all morning wrapping stuff up, but talking about that. We'll get to that later on in the show. And I also want to talk about something I floated on Wednesday. Everyone is now saying, and that is that the RNC should cancel the stupid presidential debates. I think New York Post had Trump up 62%, something ridiculous like that. But wanted to start off with one of our favorite guests, Robert Spencer from Jihad Watch, expert on international affairs. Robert, happy Party Friday. Thank you for your time today.
Thanks, Julie. Good to see you.
Yeah. And like I said, Chuck will be down here in a second. Okay. So wanted to get an update on Ukraine. Fortunately, you know, our government may be shutting down on Sunday because they're not giving it the money. But before that happens, they made sure to specifically the House did at least give $300 million more to Ukraine. That's on top of the $113 billion we've already given them. Your take, and then we can ask you to sort of update us on your read on the latest, but just your take in general.
Well, the worst part about the money is that there's no accountability whatsoever. We don't really have any idea what is being done with all this money. And that is criminal. Yeah. Would you write a check to somebody, to a business for $300 million or really for any amount and just say, oh, I don't care. Do whatever you want with it. There are lingering suspicions going back to the scandal with Sam Bankman-Fried, that the money is being laundered and supporting leftist politicians and politicians who will aid the regime agenda in the United States. And those have never been answered. They've never even been addressed. You know, the charges against Sam Bankman-Fried were mysteriously dropped. The whole thing was swept under the rug. And yet there were credible allegations at that time that the Ukrainian government was sending money to his organization. His organization was then supporting politicians, mostly Democrats, but some establishment Republicans as well. And so then they would vote for aid to Ukraine. And the whole thing was a self-reinforcing situation. Meanwhile, the Ukrainians are suffering heavy losses. It's all covered up, but the Russians seem to have secured control of the regions in the east that are largely populated by Russians and not Ukrainians. And the Ukrainians, there was an EU politician just a week or so ago who let slip that the Ukrainians had suffered 200,000 casualties, which is many, many, about 10 times more than the Russians have suffered. Now, we have not seen this in the Western press, and I'm not saying that that's the case, but I don't know why the guy would have made it up. And if that's the case, then here again, what are we paying for?
Right. Well, you raised so many points in that. So that just break it down. So, yeah, number one, you'd have to think, okay, so $113 billion. I mean, they could think of, I mean, every, you know, Ukrainian could be a multimillionaire on something like that, right? At a certain point, which begs the question then, so why are they continuing to fight and what are they doing with the money? And the reason that no one seems to want to find out, I think you're absolutely right. They send this money to Ukraine, Zelensky and company take a little bit off the top and then funnel it right back into the United States. And that's why people are like, well, it's going to take what it takes. You know, it's going to take forever because everyone else is making money. The money isn't actually really being spent. I mean, so you're saying, I think it's absolutely true, $113 billion hasn't been spent in Ukraine. That's why they can't show us what they're spending it on, right?
Then that's why they're not winning. That's why they're losing the conflict. And not only are they losing, but then they're refusing to stop fighting, which is crazy. Because an agreement, there have been feelers for peace agreements several times. And it really would be very simple. And both sides could agree that Ukraine would cede these two Russian provinces in the east of Ukraine to Russia. There really never were part of Ukraine. They're only part of Ukraine because Khrushchev was in the 50s giving a gift to the Ukrainians as kind of a an attempt to make up for the fact that Stalin had been responsible for the murder of millions of Ukrainians. Yeah. And Khrushchev admitted this as the head of the Soviet Union. Ukraine was a Soviet province. And so he made Crimea and what is it, Donbass and Donetsk, I think, were Russian populated, and he made them part of Ukraine. But it really didn't matter because it was all the Soviet Union. It only started to matter when in 1991, of course, the Soviet Union fell and Ukraine became an independent country. Now, the fact is, these are Russian populated areas. Right. You can say Putin's a scoundrel and Putin's the new Hitler and Putin is whatever you want him to be. But the fact is, those are Russian populated areas, and there could have been peace. There could still be peace made today. Right. On the basis of just signing them over to the Soviet, to Russia, and letting it be. But they don't want the peace. And why do they not want the peace? Well, you got to wonder, is it so to keep the money laundering going?
Well, exactly. I mean, and you think of the level of corruption, and that would be hard to prove, I'm sure, because Ukraine would say, well, no, we're just using it for lobbying efforts. But I would, and this, like, let me pause to point out that Colorado Rhino Republicans, Ken Buck and Doug Lamborn, voted for sending more money to Ukraine. And you're right. It's astonishing to me. And I guess, you know, if you're Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene, you keep saying, you know, show us where the money's going. And everyone's like, no, we can't. I mean, they don't even address that. Right. And that's because it's coming right back around. And they're, you know, maybe they all have gold bars these days or something like that, like Menendez, you know. In the meantime, though, I guess let's talk a little bit about, I mean, sooner or later, they're going to run out of Ukrainians, it seems to me, right? I mean, it's not that big of a country. It's not like Russia. A lot of the people fled. How do you, I mean, and as you said, it's so difficult to get information out, I suspect in part because they want to hide the laundering and the corruption that's going on. But at a certain point, doesn't this, like, I mean, not to be cruel or blunt, but it seems to me you run out of Ukrainian soldiers.
Yeah, sure. And that's common, but the situation is unsustainable in the long run.
Right.
But these people are totally oriented toward their own self-interest. And so they're going to ride the gravy train as long as it can possibly be ridden. This is really, it's human nature. You know, people they tend to do this. When Nazi Germany, and I'm not comparing Ukraine to Nazi Germany, so calm down, everyone. But the fact is that, you know, even in the waning days, when the Russians are at the gates of Berlin in April 1945, there's jockeying for power and people vying to be the one who would succeed Hitler. Now, why on earth would you want to be the leader of this crumbling regime and end up being in prison the next week? Because maybe you can grab some money and sneak away before they come, you know? And so there's never any end to the corruption and to the opportunities that people will take if they think there's some money in it.
Well, I guess you're right. And meanwhile, I'm sure Zelensky, I mean, it's not like, I don't know how the money is sent, right? Do they write a check to dear Zelensky here, you know what I mean? And sign, you know, Chuck Schumer or something like that. But however they spend the money, I'm sure, like I said, Ukraine is, some is probably going to some kind of war effort. But on the other hand, I'm sure that they're skimming off their take. And then they flip it back around, like you said, through entities here in the United States who then funnel it back into people. And I mean, everyone's taking a cut. And that's why it's $113 billion. And that's why I think the Biden administration says, oh, we need to send another $24 billion. I mean, this makes Hunter Biden look like, I don't know what, a candy store robber or something like that compared to this. I guess, so you're saying it'll end sooner or later, it'll end. And they'll be like, okay, I guess we'll end it now. We've all gotten rich and now we're going to go find our next war, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And that's exactly the case. The military-industrial complex is very much involved in this, and they are always about their own bottom line. Mitch McConnell actually spilled the beans on this the other day when he said that the war has reindustrialized our base. And, you know, that's one reason why the United States has gotten into so many wars, because the American economy was in the doldrums, and a war tends to get the economy going because it creates jobs for the munitions companies, the weapons companies, and for the need for troops and so on. Now, of course, this one, we're not totally in it, and we're not in World War III and having boots on the ground, at least not yet. But there's no doubt he was talking about this being an economic benefit for the American people. I'm not even sure that's true, but he said it. I'm sure it's an economic benefit for people like Mitch McConnell.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, given the state of our politicians these days, I think they've sort of said, hey, screw the American people. That's just cut out, so to speak, the middleman. Screw providing jobs and spending any of that money on something that's going to benefit the American people. Let's just put it right back into our pockets, you know, which wouldn't really surprise me very much at all. Well, in the meantime, what do you say about Europe? I mean, are they getting cuts too, or is this why, you know, Europe, it seems to be that Europe is, or at least certain countries are taking a step back, or what's going on there?
Well, yeah, the Polish, of course, have gotten a lot of headlines over the last few days because they have broken with Ukraine. They're very angry about Zelensky trying to start World War III, which is what he was doing, firing rockets into Poland and then blaming the Russians because he knew that that would trigger the NATO alliance, the mutual defense stipulations that NATO has. And so the Poles think, you know, what are we doing sticking our necks out for this guy when he's putting us on the line to defend himself? And I think there's growing discontent all across Europe for this. But even the fact that Europe has been involved to start with and that NATO is so heavily invested in this shows that the whole thing was wrongly sold from the beginning, because actually what NATO is a mutual defense alliance. We have an obligation to defend the countries in NATO. We don't have an obligation to defend the countries that are not in NATO. Ukraine is not in NATO. We actually have no obligation to do anything to defend it. And there was no real indication that Putin's going to roll through Europe and start invading and taking the whole thing over. But even if he did, our obligations would actually be triggered when he started to invade a NATO country, which he has not done. Only Zelensky did that, actually, oddly enough.
How do you think this ties into, I mean, what we're seeing increasingly through the impeachment hearings and just the information that, the, you know, the committees are coming up about the corrupt ties between Biden, the Biden family, and Ukraine? I mean, is that maybe why they picked Ukraine, basically? I mean, some of those connections, the pathways, so to speak, the bank routing numbers were already all in place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, Julie, you know, when we're talking about the money laundering and money lining the pockets of politicians who are pro-Ukraine in the United States, Joe Biden is the chief.
Yeah.
Because after all, you have to remember that this whole thing, one of the primary indications of the corruption of the Biden family is the fact that Hunter, this crackhead with no visible skills, got a job for $82,000 a month. Can you imagine? I mean, it's just staggering to me. An $82,000 a month salary to be on the board of a Ukrainian natural gas company, Burisma. No qualifications for that at all. He's not a natural gas expert. He doesn't know anything about the oil industry or the natural gas industry. He was just at the time the vice president's son. It was an obvious case. You'd have to be a mentally challenged third grader not to see that this was an obvious case of influence peddling. And so it's all been about Ukraine. The money, the corruption of the Biden administration is centered on Ukraine. And so it is no accident, comrade, as the Marxists used to say, that we've got to fight this tremendous war for freedom in Ukraine. It's all a facade to protect the Biden corruption.
How does it tie in? And Chuck is here now for folks who are just joining us. Chuck is out with somebody, but you've been busy. You got a big meeting tomorrow. Right. How? So when Donald Trump gets up and says stuff like, I could end the Ukrainian war in 24 hours. I mean, and it's been Tucker Carlson's position that a great many of the attacks on Trump are because of that, because he's opposed to Ukraine. And that, I mean, because that would, as you said, you know, that would stop the gravy train like in 24 hours. How much do you think that does play into all of this opposition and the Department of Justice and the weaponization of the legal system against Trump?
Oh, I wouldn't be in the least surprised if this was at the heart of all of it. that Ukraine has been their cash cow for a long time. It wasn't just Biden, but if I recall correctly, it was Mitt Romney and Nancy Pelosi also had children who mysteriously got high-paying jobs
with Burisma.
Ukrainian oil companies. What a coincidence. And isn't it amazing that the Ukrainian natural gas and oil industry is suddenly interested in hiring the children of American politicians who have no qualifications in their industry? What an amazing coincidence. And so you got to think that this is where all their money is coming from, or a great big chunk of it. And they see Donald Trump as threatening that. And it's a very real thing. You know, I got to confess that I'll vote for him, but I don't love Donald Trump as much as I used to. And one of the reasons is because I see him promising a lot of the same things that he promised in 16 and did not deliver. But there's no doubt that Putin did not move against Ukraine while he was president. And Trump has said that this was because he actually threatened to flatten Moscow.
Yeah.
And well, said, you know, all those beautiful onion domes and spires, Moscow is a beautiful city. Be gone. And you know, Trump issues a threat like that, Putin would be foolish not to take him seriously. And so if he is going to say something like that, he could easily say it again. Putin would have to stand down. He wouldn't take the risk. So he really could end this thing in 24 hours. But that would be that would mean that all these congressmen and senators are going to have to exist on their congressional salaries for the first time.
Well, let me ask you a question that I don't think you may have gone over. But if I have, I apologize. The two sources of information on Ukraine. One is the United States, the Institute for War, which is just a front for the Pentagon, British intelligence and British media, which is always positive. The Russians are always low morale and they're all going to desert. And it's just always pro-Ukrainian. It's not objective in the least. There's also on the other side, South Front, which claims to be independently funded, but it's clear it's a child of the Ministry of Defense of Russia. Although in wording and in tone, they're more objective than the other one, but they're not objective. And the third source is a group of people that appear on various shows, including a CIA analyst, Larry Johnson, yeah. Colonel McGregor, and some others who say the war is going absolutely awful. It's just a slaughter bin. Russian losses are fractional to those of Ukraine, and it's going terribly, and who knows whether they can make it through the winter or not. I have no way of knowing who is,
which is true.
Those three sources are correct, but I have a feeling that McGregor and Johnson and some others seem a little more believable than anybody else.
Yeah, I would tend to favor them. We were talking before you came in, Chuck, about this, and I mentioned an EU politician who said exactly what you just said there, that Russian losses are about a tenth of the losses of the Ukrainians. And this was something that he said kind of offhandedly in the course of making other points, perhaps not realizing that this was not material that had gotten out on a larger scale. But also there was a Russian source recently. Now, here again, it's a Russian source. And so we have to take it with a grain of salt. But they did an extensive survey of obituaries in newspapers. Mm. Now, this is an interesting way to approach the situation when both sides might have reason to conceal what's going on. They looked for the obituaries of young military age men. And here again, the Ukrainian obituaries were running about 10 times more frequent than the Russian.
Wow. Well, so, you know, and that brings up something, Robert.
Well, let me have one other point. I mean, it does make sense that if you're attacking a fortified position, you're going to suffer, I guess they say 3-1, or it could be more, losses. And it's clear that the Ukrainians have thrown tens of thousands, if not more, into these meat grinders, and it would make sense that they would be suffering greatly more than the Russians, especially if they can't overrun any positions.
Well, that's reasonable, but the problem is they can't sustain it. Yeah. The military is much smaller. The population is smaller. This is like we were talking about. This is not something they're going to be able to keep up for any significant period of time.
And the fact that American funding is starting to get pushback. I mean, been a lot of pushback, about $300 million. I mean, that's just that's a dessert or a souffle for the Ukrainians. $300 million, they could go through that in 10 seconds, and they need. They, you know, we support their whole government, their pensions, their salaries, their first responders. Everybody's on the dole for the United States. And so if it starts to slow down, even slow down, they're going to have some real problems keeping Ukraine together.
Yeah. And they've already lost the primary objectives. The Russians wanted to gain control of the Russian populated territories of Ukraine. And they've already done that. And the Ukrainians are not going to be able to win them back. And they don't even want to be won back. I mean, these are areas that are Russian. They are Russian. The people there are Russian. They don't really want to be part of Ukraine. This is one thing that's never discussed in the Western press. Right. And you can't even discuss it without people saying, oh, you love Putin. You must love Hitler. You know, well, actually, no. Putin could be the worst guy in the world, but these would still be Russian areas.
Well,
other area that I think Russia wants back is Odessa. That's at least half Russian.
One that's a little more dicey. But when you talk about Donbass and Crimea, even, these are Russian territories from time immemorial.
And so now Robert was making the point that the main reason for the Ukrainian war is, as we saw with the Sam Bankman-Fried thing, is for us to send money to Ukraine. Ukraine then sends it back to Sam Bankman-Fried and other people here who then pay it to politicians and left causes.
And media outlets and everything else.
So here's my question, Robert. I have noticed, I mean, Ukraine is not that big a country, right?
Pretty big. It's the biggest landmass.
Let me make a point. But it's not... It's and we've seen people travel over there and they do Vogue magazine shoots and things like that. And we see Biden walking through the streets. So it's not as if the whole entire country is a war zone. But we have seen, I think, astonishingly little actual media coverage. I mean, I remember sometimes when there was stuff going on in Iran and Iraq, and even, you might even have all the reporters reporting from the same hill, but you had all of these reporters constantly report, you know, they were wartime correspondents, right? You don't see any of that here. I mean, and it looks like it would be fairly safe and everybody's friendly. Zelensky would let him in, right? It's not like trying to get into the Middle East. And we've seen Sean Penn went over and did a documentary, but there's been almost zero actual reporting. So I'm going to raise a question. Could this all be, and I'm halfway joking, but a wag the dog kind of thing where there actually isn't even any war going on, right? They just periodically blow stuff up in the distance and people see smoke. And then they put some obituaries in like they did of people who never existed. And meanwhile, everyone keeps funneling the money.
Millions,
and that's
millions.
Why nobody really wants to end it, because the Ukrainians, I mean, I don't know, they're getting paid something. I mean, I know it sounds crazy, but a part of me is like, I don't know. That wouldn't totally surprise me if that was the case.
Julie, that has occurred to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I think that it does sound crazy, but you're right. I mean, going back to Vietnam, the wars have been extensively televised.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And there was massive coverage. You were always turning on, you would turn on the news and see the fighting. And so, you know, I don't watch the network news anymore, but it would seem like I would see that we ought to be seeing clips on Twitter or something of videos of fighting.
Right.
So for whatever reason, the reporters are not in the war zones like they were in the past. And that leads to this kind of skepticism. It may be that the whole thing is a money laundering venture. I don't know. But
it's all in a big giant green screen.
Would have gotten
the only thing you do see are these things that Russia sends out of some drone or missile blowing up a tank. But that doesn't mean anybody's in the tank. It may be just part of the
right. Or that it's not that was in a warehouse and they pulled it out to bomb it to make the video.
Or it was like the Second World War or something, right? I mean, you know, I mean, or AI generated it. That has just struck me. I mean, because for reporters, being a wartime correspondent, I mean, that's huge, right? That's a career maker, right? And this isn't a country that is friendly to us. It's not like they're even in hostile territory, right? There are plenty of people who speak English that could help them get around. And yet, when you look, it's exactly like you see. If you were to go do a Google search of, you know, Ukrainian war, and then images, that's what you see. You see some grainy satellite picture of some road in the middle of nowhere with like this tank blown up in it. And it's like, well, wait a minute, you know.
Possible. And in this scenario, in that case, the Ukrainian casualties would be higher than the Russian, because that would solely be a psyop to keep the American money flowing.
Right, right. Well, that's true. Maybe
it all fits.
They've all kind of do that. Well, where are you, as we head into winter, and we head into, there is at some point, I think that there is some pushback, both in Europe and in among the American population, to the war in Ukraine. I mean, but on the other hand, like you said, the gravy train, I can see them being willing to keep it rolling until somebody makes some stuff. I mean, how do you see this going? And bottom line, the other part of that question is, what is the danger, though, of Putin deciding to take some sort of more drastic action, too?
I don't think he's going to do that. Okay. If the war is real, which I do generally tend to think, even if he's winning, it hasn't gone as well as he could have or should have expected. After all, the whole world expected that he would roll in a matter of days, and there would be no significant resistance. And so the fact that we're still talking about this over a year after the invasion started, actually, what is it, a year and a half now, it's extraordinary, and it's not a good look for the Russian military. Now, to be sure, he has wanted to minimize the risk for the Russians because he knows that this war is unpopular at home. The Russians think of the Ukrainians as part of Russia. I mean, that's one of the reasons why he actually started the war. But paradoxically, it works against him as well, because when he kills Ukrainians, a lot of Russians think, what are you doing killing our own people?
Right, right.
But Putin is sort of a minimalist. I mean, when he went into Georgia, when he went into Armenia and some other ones, you know, these lopped off the Russian section of those countries and really left everything else alone.
I don't see him rolling into Poland or Finland after this.
Okay.
I don't think he's even got the ability if he wanted to.
Right. In the meantime, though, I think they'll keep raising the specter of Putin launching a nuclear war, so everyone has to keep spending more money. At a certain point, you begin to think the United States is going to run out of money. They're going to run out of Ukrainians.
All we're doing is borrowing the money from the Chinese to fight the war, to give it to Ukrainians, to give it to our politicians. I mean, we're spending, what, $7 trillion a year, and we're bringing in $5 trillion, and the rest is being funded by people who buy U.S. bonds?
Yeah, it's a good gig if you can get it, I guess.
Well, not if you're us.
No. Well, we can't get that gig, Chuck.
No, we can't.
Hey, Robert, thank you. Your insights are always so amazing. Thank you, as
thank
always.
You, you're great.
And any new Ukrainian oil companies watching, I'm hireable.
Here we go. We are too. We can be your minions.
I'm on other boards. I mean, come on.
Robert, thank you so much. Have a great Friday.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Everybody loves you too. On the comments on Zoom, everybody loves. This is from Leo. All the dead Ukrainians are now registered Democrats. So this is funny, from Charlene. Siri says Ukraine has about 40 million people, no telling how many have left.
I think it's 18 left.
I mean, a whole, yeah, exactly. Well, in the beginning, I mean, his point, and you got to remember that when we talk about the war, is you cannot forget the whole corruption aspect. I mean, he started out by saying, here's what you got to remember, that, you know, and the Sam Bankman-Fried stuff, that's all kind of gone away and got quiet. But it's like, you know, so why is he getting money from Ukraine? And where's Ukraine getting all of that money, right?
So it's from us.
So it's this giant money laundering thing. And I think what Robert said to before you came down is they'll keep it going until somebody makes them stop, right? It's like, why wouldn't you, right?
Well, you know, Trump said that he'd end it in 24 hours. You could just say, we're not funding anymore. Whoa, war's over.
Boom, boom, boom. Suddenly you're like, all right. They all go put their gold bars. They hide them a little more sneaky.
Right. Menendez. Yeah, take them back from Menendez.
And cash them in. All right. Well, thank you to Robert Spencer for that. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the RNC. I said this first.
I did say it first.
And now Newt Gingrich and Laura Ingraham picking up on it. But after the last debate, which, by the way, 27% fewer people watched than the first debate, which far fewer people watched than an actual debate that Trump was in the previous election. And I said, you know, Trump's poll numbers don't go down. In fact, there was an interesting story. If you guys haven't checked it out, try it at the Conservative Treehouse, where actually it's a New York Times story, but don't go to their paywall. The Conservative Treehouse outlines it for you, where a New York Times got an email or some kind of memo leaked to them from the, what's it called?
Club for Growth.
Yeah, Club for Growth, which is essentially the RINO establishment people funding DeSantis, right?
And, well, it's more than that. At one time they backed Trump, but they you know, they don't like his economic nationalism, controlling the border, and so lots of other
things that interfere with their ability to make money, right? And so so they're saying nothing we're doing, they test all these ads, they do all of their attacks against Trump are failing. And they said, in fact, when they show some of these test ads to sort of focus groups where they attack Trump for January 6th, people boo and hiss at them and say, Trump didn't do that. When they show anything attacking Trump, even if it's somewhat true, they're like, so what? So what? He's Trump, right? They're like, we don't know what to do, you know?
And he has our propaganda is not effective. This is un-American. How can these people not fall for our propaganda?
And then in the meantime, you know, you said what, in a New York Post, which is a Rupert Murdoch thing, Trump has 62%.
Oh, the primary vote.
Primary vote.
And beats Biden by 3-4.
Exactly. And so I'm saying, why is the RNC allowing the Republicans, you know, allowing their donors' wish list to try to become reality? It's not going to become reality. They need to do what the Democrats are doing. Knock off the primary debates, quit spending money there. You know, I don't know if you're the other candidate. I don't think you drop out because you're probably going for other things too. But they need to quit having these debates, quit pretending that there actually is going to be a primary. And we need to start spending our time and effort on things like getting out the vote, ballot harvesting efforts, things like that will actually help Trump win and Biden lose. So I was shocked to see that Laura Ingraham, of all people, who has been a DeSantis supporter all along, is starting to go along with that. She had Newt Gingrich on last night. No, yeah, I think it was last night, if not last night, the night before. And they were talking about that. And Newt said the same thing I am. They're like, we need to end these debates. The RNC, we just need to get behind Trump, whether we like him or not, because he's better than Biden. Where would we have heard that kind of
unite? Way to do it is say, okay, for this next bid, you have to have double digits approval. And there's only one person who would have it, which is DeSantis, and therefore there'd be no debate. I mean, you don't have to go, we're getting rid of the debate. So at this point, you have to have double digit thing. And I go, oh, guess we don't have it.
Right, exactly. And I know we've got a phone call, so hang on, caller, we'll get you in a second. But if we could kind of just wrap this part up, if we could please play the Newt Gingrich number one soundbite, Thomas.
Talking to our mutual friend, the pollster Matt Towery, this afternoon. And Matt said to me, based on what he saw last night, this race is over. Donald Trump will be the nominee. They might as well quit having the various debates because they don't work. They're not helping anybody. I think that's where we are. I think Trump will be the nominee. And the question now for everybody is, do you want to see Joe Biden reelected or do you want to help Donald Trump? There's no middle ground here, I don't think, because you're either going to get Trump as president or you're going to have Biden. And Biden's reelection would be a disaster for the country.
I think you quoted on my podcast today someone saying Trump now, after this last debate, is the reality and defeating Biden is the necessity. So given those two, you know, thoughts that the conservatives, I imagine most of them see now, I mean, now what? Are people going to start dropping out and endorsing Trump, or are they just going to hang out until Super Tuesday?
Well, I think the Republican National Committee should cancel the future debates and say, look, we recognize the objective fact that Trump will be the nominee. We want to work with him. And then the next big hurdle is a totally corrupt judicial system, which is trying every way it can to deny the American people the right to have the candidate that they're choosing.
They don't want that. And that's a thing. And I think, and we'll play another soundbite and then we'll get to the phone here in a second. But that's exactly what's going on, right? It's they should just acknowledge it, right? And let the other candidates, like you said, why are they debating? It's just ridiculous. And I think the RNC...
Well, the other thing about the debate that was really amazing is the moderators. Did you hear one question about how the Justice Department is weaponized?
No.
One question about how they're destroying our democratic rights? No, it's Joe Ilya Calderon telling us that, you know, why don't we give amnesty? And Dina Perino
was introducing Hillary Clinton, Clinton, the amazing Hillary Clinton,
just like 2 days ago. Yeah.
So let's do that. Well, the Democrat, so Newt is right. He said, you know, look, the Democrats are desperate. We've, you know, a typical Republican Party. We finally have the Democrats where we want them, right? And we're like, oh, we don't want to, you know, use that opportunity to do good. If we could please play the Newt soundbite number two, Thomas.
I mean, Trump and some of these races, some of these polls, Trump is like 43 points ahead of the next person. 43 points. He's going to be the nominee. And I think it tells you how terrified the left is that they're doing everything they can legally because they can't do anything politically. Given the economy, given everything else that's going on, I think the odds are very high that Trump will win the general election. And they're going to do everything they can to stop that.
And the Republican National Committee needs to start fighting back against that, right? Rather than having these useless debates with useless moderators. Okay, so we've got, is it Ann on line two? We'll go to the phones right now. Hey, is it Ann or is this Mary? I wasn't sure. On line two? Oh, it's okay.
Hey, yeah, this is
okay,
Ann.
Hey, Ann.
Okay, and yeah. First of all, I wanted to thank you so much for continuing your radio show, because what you cover is so huge. And to see J-I-H-A-D, watch.org, Robert Spencer speak today was outstanding. So, you know, and this clip about Newt standing by Trump, because it's real. Anyway, the reason I'm calling is I want to ask your listeners to get a paper and pencil to take action to protect our right to be represented by our party platform Republican. If you go to Open Primaries, PRIMARIES.org, you will find the history and the mission of Open Primaries. And because the county officers, which is primarily the membership of the Central Committee, we need to email them. And if you can call, like some of the counties, Republican websites have a phone number so you can leave a message, but you can also email them, and we have to email them to inform them that there was a Colorado Sun article written in July last year, in July of 2022, and it showed that 57% of the Republican Party, I mean, the Republican primary in June last year was decided by unaffiliated. So yeah. If 57% unaffiliateds were registered to vote in our Republican primary, that means between at least 10 to 30% of those ballots were from Democrats who switched their party affiliation,
right,
and then voted for our weakest candidate. I know personally in Boulder, Colorado, from a Democrat who announced in a meeting that I was at that the Democrats could call one phone number and get 2,000 Boulder Democrats to take whatever action they were instructed to take. So that's not counting Denver and Colorado Springs and Fort Collins. And the mission that's stated on the openprimaries.org website says they are not, no party affiliation is going to end up allowing you to have any difference in your voting. Okay.
No.
So,
I just urge
that people get to that website of their county, their specific county, today and inform them. Just send them that website. Say that all those officers were elected to represent Republicans' victories in elections. And if they don't vote to close the primary, they are in violation of the mission they stated that they were said to represent. Okay.
Right. I think that's a great idea, Anne. I think that's a great idea.
I want to let you go here now, but that's a good idea. And thank you. You always have great information. So I appreciate that. And you're right. I mean, thank you, Anne. And I think that You know, that kind of leads into the stuff you've been working all day, right? And that is opting to close the primary, because as she points out, we know that the Democrats are meddling in the Colorado primaries. And we know that anyone who says they're for closing the primary, but then they don't vote for closing the primary is actually not for closing the primary. And so we've got some comments here. This one from Charlene. Chuck and Julie, maybe you can try to get Lou from Douglas County School Board on here. Okay. Rhinos are trying to railroad her like they did Vicky Tompkins. Okay. I will look into that. Charlene, feel free to send me any more information. Ivy Lou, I'm sorry. Ivy Lou, you know, I've heard a little bit about this. And the Douglas County School Board has always been ground zero, really, for the teachers union and things, and for charter schools and school choice and things like that. So that's another battlefront, really, that people forget about is the school board races. And you've got a bunch of those coming up.
I have a lot of them coming up, and it's going to be absolutely critical. And I think this is the greatest time ever, because parents are finally really tuned in to what schools are up to. They're not these kind of nice, let's teach them reading and math and stuff. They're indoctrination centers.
Well, and in the meantime, the schools and the teachers union got desperate, or maybe they just got cocky, and I mean that in the worst sort of way, in terms of like, oh, we don't even care about parents anymore. So we can just flat out say we don't care about parents. And then we'll have the FBI investigate them, and we'll have them, you know, the White House calling the teachers unions and saying, hey, you guys want us to start investigating parents for you? And again, keep in mind, it's all, you know, going to be, I think the censorship is going to start cracking down even harder. I mean, you kind of wanted to briefly, it's a party fight. We got a few minutes left. The whole Russell Brand thing and the cancel culture.
I'd rather save that
For a whole day. Okay.
For a whole show. What's going on? And it's always the same. It's the same people. And we were subject to that attack how many years ago?
Right.
So I think we have a good feel for what they do and how awful they are. I think we got somebody to hand up.
Oh, hey, okay, Charlene, jump on here.
Have something you want to talk about, but I may be late to the party on this one. But
no.
I just saw on Facebook where this Liston guy is hopefully getting censured because he tried to ruin Vicky Tompkins' husband's good name.
Right.
It sounds like he falsely accused him of chest bumping him.
Right, and Charlene, we did a whole show on that.
I missed it. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, you have to go back and find it. And so what happens is, I think it was titled Jurors Smackdown Rhino or something like that. Yeah. And so what happened is then it went to trial and it was dismissed. I think the jury, Vicky said, was out like literally like 10 minutes. And we have information on that. Well, I mean,
And you know what kills me is that so he throws the officer under the bus and then he calls his friends in high places and he says they didn't do a good job, and so then he admits that while he's being interviewed at the police station. He admits that he calls higher ups to throw this officer under the bus, and then he finally gets him to court, and then it's dismissed. It's just, but people shouldn't get away with things like that.
The Republican Party leadership, they have talked about it. And
they postponed the vote to next month.
Yeah, they postponed it till next month to torture him. No, I'm kidding.
Well, exactly. And, really, it would have been cool if he would done that to a Democrat, But no, the Rhinos are too cowardly to do that to a Democrat. They'll do it to the real patriots. It's just amazing.
I mean, it's an incredible story. I mean, it's even worse than what you described, because what initially happened, you kind of described it, but the Colorado Springs police investigated it. First of all, why is Liston even calling the cops on this, right? And so they come out there and they're like, dude, there's nothing here, right? There is, videotape. There's videotape of the whole thing.
Exactly.
That shows like
it's
an idiot.
Then you have him going into the police station and trying to get the charges bumped up to a felony.
And it's like, and then all of this is on tape. Number one, you should be censured for just being so stupid. But you're right. It's like, I mean, those guys go after, and God bless Vicky and her husband, because one of the things.
I know it.
And he had to hire a defense attorney.
Well, they spent tens of thousands of dollars.
Vicky and
didn't cost Liston a penny.
No, and of
course, it should cost Liston something. There should be something that is false accusations. There should be some suit filed, and he should have to pay damages because they just can't keep doing stuff like this. Anyway, all right. Well, thank you. I'll go all back right. and listen.
Thank
to
you.
It,
and Charlene, just so you know, Leo wrote a note in there. You're not late to the party. You're never late to the party. It doesn't start till you get there. So,
so thank you, Leo. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Charlene. And we'll look into the Douglas County School Board thing. Well, one thing, too, that's kind of interesting, the government, I guess, is going to shut down at midnight on Sunday, potentially.
Yeah.
It was kind of a weird little article I read in Politico where they were kind of saying, because of the pandemic, since the majority, it was something like 62 or something like almost 70% of federal workers have a hybrid schedule that requires them to work one day in the office, right? One day in the office. And they were kind of doing a positive spin on the shutdown, because in previous shutdowns, some of the business lunch places and things like that, the Uber drivers, right? They lost a little bit of money because there wasn't anybody working downtown. But since but the positive spin on this shutdown is since none of the federal government workers work anymore,
or state workers,
they have any impact on the economy. Right. So, but Jared Polis is out there saying he will make sure the state parks stay open. Thank you, Jared. Thank you, Jared. Beautiful. But, again,
I didn't know the federal government controlled the state parks.
Well, but anyway. Jared Polis controls the federal. He's just waiting to see what happens with Robert Kennedy Jr. And then he'll jump up and raise his hand.
All right.
Robert Kennedy Jr. today.
That he's talking to libertarians.
Exactly. That's, we had some good points. Oh, this was Jacob on the ongoing Trump legal harassment. He says, if according to the judge, the Trump properties are worth only 20% of what is published, and Trump paid taxes on the published price, then isn't Trump owed a refund? I think so, too. How about the surrounding properties that were comped with the Trump properties? Aren't they owed a refund? That's absolutely true. And then from Leo on the government shutdown, does that mean the new 87,000 armed IRS workers will be at home cleaning their guns? Maybe.
Target practice.
Yeah, they'll be gone. Well, the federal workers all get their back pay too.
And they get all their back pay. And now you can see it on MSNBC, CNN, all the other ones. This poor grandmother.
And I think Nat Gaetz is raising a point. I mean, he's trying to say, I'm not going to vote for anything. But first, we want single issue bills, which makes sense. And like he said, it's not like Kevin McCarthy didn't know this day was coming. So why weren't they working on it? Not going to vote for anything that funds Ukraine, although that lost. Thank you, Ken Buck and Doug Lamborn. Not going to vote for anything that funds Jack Smith's office, who's persecuting Trump. Why Ken Buck votes for this? I mean, I don't know. It could be fixed if they wanted it to. And I guess that's a silly question, Julie. They don't want it to.
Where have you been?
I don't know. I was reading my Pollyanna book before I came on the show. So my prediction is the government will shut down Sunday at midnight. None of us will notice anything. And actually, they will keep sending money to Ukraine.
The Ukraine will. That'll continue on. No problem there. They'll get their Abrams tanks and other things they can die in.
And then everybody will still funnel money back to the politicians.
Right.
But they're also, interestingly, finally, the Comer and the House committees have subpeenaed Hunter Biden and James Biden.
Which is what Matt Gaetz said. If they're serious, they would have.
Right.
And of course, he'll say Fifth Amendment.
But still, drag him in there.
Yeah,
right. Drag him in there. Because you have these emails now that fairly explicitly show Hunter Biden saying, well, we need to get dad involved, or you're doing this to protect dad. Right. I mean, he's clearly talking about that. Yet what? And the wire transfer went to Joe Biden's house. I guess maybe he's like, oh, Hunter was staying there for the night, so we just had to go there. I mean,
it's and then you have all the Democrats who are not tethered to any truth anymore, and they just, it's nothing, it's a nothing burger, unlike the Ukrainian impeachment of Trump and all the other and anybody who's looked at it kind of goes, yeah, they're totally corrupt, and the Democrats are almost, but everybody is.
The corporate media isn't even covering it, right?
No,
you look at the website The Hill, right? Which is theoretically covering the Hill, which you know darn well covered wall to wall the Trump impeachment things, right? You don't even see anything on the impeachment, nothing on the impeachment.
Politico or anything.
No. All right, guys, this is tasteless, but it's Party Friday, and this is kind of funny. From Jacob Feinstein, who died today, has finally met term limitations. You know, somebody was, I'll point this out. Somebody, they were saying, oh,
which for the Supreme Court and for Congress people seems to be, you know, literally till death. They mean literally.
Well, and the, all of that, now all of a sudden she's the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though they were hammering
Pathfinder.
Yeah. But again, you know, keep in mind, wasn't she the one, she had like a Chinese spy who was her driver. Her husband made a ton of money off of that. She was on the committee, right? The conservative treehouse tallied all this up where they, you know, they let Christine Blasey Ford testify against, you know, Kavanaugh. I mean, okay, she's not the greatest thing since sliced bread, right? Now, she hasn't been perhaps as corrupt as she used to be, just simply because she's old, but I know, and her family's fighting about everything. But at any rate, yeah, it's, you know, she's like, oh, Saint Dianne Feinstein. I don't think so. Hey, well, that is going to do it for us on this Party Friday. On Monday, we will have the complete report from the big Colorado Republican.
Good news. We overcome the incredible odds. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. But stay to be sure to tune in on Monday, though, because we'll have a complete report from Chuck.
From me.
And everybody, anyone else we can get to talk about that, too. In the meanwhile, thank you to Robert Spencer, all of you great guys on Zoom, the great folks, Thomas, and everybody at bbsradio.com. And we will see you all. Now it's time for Party Friday.
Take care.